Go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 39. If you have your Bibles there with you, I'm going to look at the entire chapter and all 23 verses this morning. Then it's Genesis 39 verses 1 through 23. And we just sang that song, you know, in the garden alone. That's all about intimacy with the Lord. That's what that song's about, right? I walk with the Lord and He walks with me. I talk with the Lord and He talks with me. Even in the woes of life, you hear that there's a passage, there's a line in that song that you're like, what? You got to think about it a minute. He said, if it was up to me, I'd stay there all day. And even when the night's falling, I'd stay, because this, you know, it's like your quiet time with the Lord. When you go to the garden early, that's what that's about. You go out in the garden and you seek the Lord in prayer and in the Word, and that's the key to the beginning of intimacy. If you don't do that, then the rest of it's going to suffer. But if you do that, then you kind of want to stay with Him all the time. And you'd stay there if you could, but His voice is bidding you to go. Why? What's He talking about? Well, go out and do His bidding in the world, and even when that happens through the voice of woe, He's still calling you. He's still walking with you and talking with you no matter what. Right? As your intimacy with the Lord grows. And, you know, why that song? You know, many of these songs are trying to make purposeful. We sing and prepare our hearts to worship the Lord and to hear His Word. Well, this whole story is about a man who walked intimately with the Lord. Joseph had a very intimate walk with the Lord God Almighty. And that's what we're going to see here as we go through this passage, is Joseph and his faith. Wow. How did he have that faith? Intimacy with the Lord. So let's take a look at that. Verses 1 to 23, beginning in verse 1. The Lord says this. He says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites and had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and he became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. And it came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with a desire at Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he's put all that he owns into my charge. There's no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. Now, how then could I do this great evil and sin against God? And it came about as she spoke to Joseph day after day, that he did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. And when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them, see, he has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I screamed. And it came about when he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, that he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside. So she left his garment beside her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with these words, the Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came into me to make sport of me. And it happened as I raised my voice and screamed, that he left his garment beside me and fled outside. And now it came about when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, this is what your slave did to me, that his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him, gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, as we come to this passage of Scripture, remind us that it's your word to us. It's not just a story. It's not even just a great story about a great man in the Bible, but Father, this is you speaking to us through this man's life right here and now. And so I pray that you, oh God, would speak to us clearly. And that you would take my muddled efforts and you would speak to the people here very clearly to the hearts and minds. And Father, you would just call us all to a greater faith. Father, call us all to a greater intimacy in our walk with you. God, you're an intimate God. You're a personal God. With your people, you walk with them. So I pray, Father, that we would respond to that in faith even more. That yes, we would walk with you. No matter where, no matter what. No matter the time, no matter the season. That we trust you. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Well, last week as we looked at the passage, told the story of Judah and Tamar, we saw that God's grace and faithfulness was there despite the faithfulness of His people. And believe me, there was a lot of unfaithfulness going on with Judah and his family. There was a lot of sinful behavior, and nothing short of scandalous behavior really seemed to permeate the whole passage. And it got so bad that not one, but two of Judah's sons were cut down in the prime of their life by God because of their sin and their wickedness. So really, if it were not for the bright shining light of God's grace working through and shining through that passage, really the whole passage would be rather dark. Now, as we turn to this morning's chapter and this passage, notice the sharp contrast. In fact, I believe that's why the stories of Judah and Tamar were put where they were. Sometimes you read those, go, why are they here? I think those stories are put there purposefully, right where they were, in order to make this sharp contrast for us, right? To compare the unfaithfulness of Judah and Tamar and the darkness of that, yet God's grace overcame that. And now let's look, wow, what a big difference. We see Joseph and his faithfulness here in this passage. And it really is a big difference, especially when you think of Joseph's faithfulness under the circumstances that he was living under. Judah was free to live in the promised land as he was, to go here and there, and yet he was unfaithful. Joseph was a prisoner, a slave, under hard conditions and adversity in Egypt, and look at the difference. Joseph was a faithful man, and you see that all throughout the Scriptures with his life. Now again, remember, Joseph's a Christ-type figure, and this is really true with all of his life. God purposed to show us Christ through him. And so because of that, there seems to be an extraordinary amount of the Spirit of God on his life, and therefore an extraordinary faith exhibited in Joseph. As a matter of fact, with the exception of Daniel, as we talked about in Sunday school, and of course Christ himself, think about this, there's no one in the Scriptures of which so much is written and told to us about his life, and there's not a one negative aspect given about Joseph's life. Not one. Now, don't get me wrong, the man sinned. He was a sinner like all men. But comparatively speaking, even in all the Scriptures, this man's a giant of faith. Joseph was a faithful man. So because of that, as we go through our passage, I want us to look at the different times and seasons and situations in Joseph's life, just in this one chapter, right? Joseph lived a full life. A lot of things happened to this man. But I want to look at just what happened to him in this one chapter, look at the different seasons, times, situations that he walked through, and see his faithfulness even in all those times. No matter what the time, no matter what the situation, Joseph remained faithful. And as we do that, hopefully we'll see some keys to Joseph's faithfulness and therefore aid us in our own walk of faith before the Lord. Because Joseph walked before the same Lord we walked before, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so let us learn from the faithfulness of Joseph by looking at three different situations, seasons, times in his life. The first one's this. Joseph, we see, was faithful even when he was alone in a foreign land. Look at verses 1 through the first half of verse 6 again. You know, this passage, these first five and a half verses pick up where we left off back in chapter 37, before Judah and Tamar, right? There, Joseph had been betrayed by his brothers, thrown in a pit, then sold into slavery to the Ishmaelites that were passing by, and they took him to Egypt, and they sold him into slavery. And who bought him? This man named Potiphar. Who was Potiphar? Potiphar's the captain of the bodyguard for Pharaoh himself. This was a very, very important man in all the land of Egypt. He was very influential and very powerful, right? And had access, great access, to the courts of Pharaoh, right? See the Lord's providence in this already? Because who was Joseph bought by? Just Joe Schmo? No. Potiphar, the one who gave access to Pharaoh's courts. Now, Joseph is, through the time serving Potiphar, is being exposed, believe it or not, to the courts of Pharaoh and the business of all those courts, getting him used to the very business he would be involved in as Pharaoh's right-hand man later on in his life, right? So God's working out, getting Joseph ready for what he would call him to, right even then when he's 17 years old, sold into slavery, just by providentially putting him in Potiphar's hands. Now, a quick side note here. This is what the Lord does with his people. The Lord is using all the circumstances of our lives in order to prepare us to serve Him better and walk in faith better later on down the road for what the works that He's prepared beforehand for us to walk in. That's what He's always doing. And oftentimes, brothers and sisters, it's the circumstances that we see as insignificant or unnecessary, and a lot of times the most unwanted circumstances are the ones God is using to prepare us for our walk before Him later on in life. God's using everything in your life, right, to work out His good purposes, namely two big ones. Your good, His glory. There's always a purpose in that. So don't think anything in your life is insignificant. He's using it. He's working. This is who God is. And you see it even here in Joseph. Now, back to Joseph and his slavery. Imagine the shock to Joseph's system at this point in his life. Joseph's a 17-year-old boy, all right? One day, he's with his family. He's a shepherd, doing what he does every day. He's the most beloved son of his father, greatly favored. His brothers didn't like him too much, right? But it could be a lot worse. After all, he's part of the family of God that God has promised great blessings and to make a great nation on the earth. Man, this is the life of Joseph, and it was a good life, but it's the only life he ever knew. It was safe. It was secure. The next day, right, he awakens in a foreign land as a slave. And not just any foreign land, but a great pagan land. This is the pinnacle of paganism on the earth at this time. The streets are filled with giant statues and idols. Probably the very home of Potiphar that he served in was filled with these idols. He most likely woke every morning to cultic hymns of people trying to awaken the gods from their slumber. And on top of that, he's a slave amidst all this stuff. Not a free man. This is a shock to anybody's system. And so I point that out to say, if anybody, even now, had a reason to turn their back on the Lord and not walk faithfully, it was Joseph. One, he could very easily rationalize in his mind, I'm all alone here. Who knows me? I'm separated from my family and anybody that I know. Who knows who I am, what I'm supposed to be? I could do anything I want. Number two, right? He could easily rationalize, well, this God I serve sure isn't looking after me too well. He must not be with me. Maybe I should just try serving one of these pagan gods I hear so much about or see so much about. Perhaps If I serve them, perhaps they'll do me some good. Right? Joseph had all kinds of reasons, but he didn't do that. He didn't choose that. Instead, what did Joseph do? He continued to walk faithfully before the Lord, trusting Him, even after being ripped apart from his whole family, everybody he knew, and he was dumped in the middle of Egypt. Put yourself there, right? Put yourself in the middle of Egypt right now. All alone, nobody knows you, you're a slave. Joseph remained faithful. And we know he remained faithful. One, we know he remained faithful because we know the rest of the story, right? We get the benefit of seeing all of Joseph's life lived out. Yeah, of course he remained faithful. God has got all this worked out, but he can't see that, right? He can't hear the narrator's voice reading these passages, but yet he remained faithful. And we even see it in these first 5.5 verses, don't we? Joseph remained faithful even when he's put into slavery in Potiphar's house. I'm sure when he was first brought into Potiphar's service, he was given the most menial and demeaning task there were. You're the newbie, you get the worst, right? But how did Joseph respond? We know he responded well because Potiphar took quick notice of how well Joseph did and how everything prospered in his hands. So Joseph, seeking to honor God, walked faithfully even when he had very little and in the small things here as a slave in Egypt. Joseph responded rightly. And then, again, as I said, Potiphar noticed it. So much so, he started to put more under Joseph's hand, brought him into his house, made him his own personal slave, and put more and more until what? Until he gave him everything in his house. And Potiphar didn't think or care about anything except what he ate. Wow, now Joseph's in charge of a lot. But what did Joseph do? He remained faithful in that. Think about that. Whether he had a little or he had a lot, Joseph's walking faithfully, faithfully, faithfully. Now how was Joseph able to walk faithfully? Because he still trusted God. And why was he still trusting God? Because he knew, right, like the passage tells us, that the Lord was with him. Even though he'd been separated from his family, even though he'd been separated from everybody he knew and everything he held dear, and he was dumped in the middle of a foreign land, he knew right then and there, you can't separate me from God. And God was with him, walking with him through that. Really, I would say this. Joseph was able to be faithful because he knew the faithful one was always with him. This, because it even tells us here, the Lord was with Joseph. That's how he was able to be faithful before God. Now, before we move this from this point of Joseph was faithful, even when he's all by himself, in a foreign land, I just have to ask you the question. How's your faith when you find yourself all alone in a strange place? You've probably not been ripped from your family and sold into slavery and woke up in Egypt, right? But you will find yourself alone, right? There are times in your life when you're separated from your family and all the people you know, and sometimes you're in a pretty pagan place, right? Just the circumstances of life, work, or whatever take you there. How do you respond to that? Do you walk in faith there like you walk in faith when you're with everybody that knows who you are and who you're supposed to be? Hopefully you're like Joseph. Hopefully there's no difference between the two places, right? Hopefully you're getting up in the morning no matter where you are and you're praying to the Lord and you're studying in His Word. Hopefully you are seeking to honor God in all your speech as you walk before people you don't know and you talk to people you don't know. Hopefully you're seeking to honor God in all your interactions with relationships with people you don't know. Right? Hopefully, no matter where you are, whether it's the small task or the big task, you're seeking to honor God and walk faithfully before Him because you know what Joseph knows. You can be separated from everybody you know, but you're not separated from the Lord. The Lord is everywhere. And if you're His, He is always with you. And if He's always with you, we will walk and seek to strive to walk faithfully with Him. Right? Joseph was able to be faithful even when he was alone in a foreign land. Secondly, the second situation, time and season. I don't want you to see this. Joseph was faithful even in the midst of a great temptation. Verses, second half of verse 6. Through verse 12, let me read that again. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, And it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. He's put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in the house than I. And he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. Now, how could I do this great evil and sin against God?" But it came about as she spoke to Joseph day after day that he did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. It happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. And she caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me." He left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. Here in this passage we see, right, that Potiphar's wife tried to lure Joseph into sin. Joseph wasn't looking for anything, right? We don't have to be looking for anything. The enemy was already at work when he was working through Potiphar's wife, right? She lusted after Joseph, so she went after Joseph. But despite her attempts, right, to pull Joseph in, he remained faithful through the entire thing. Now, what I want you to see is the greatness of the temptation. Yes, Joseph was faithful in the midst of temptation. This is not a normal temptation. This is not the same temptation old Judah faced when he was walking down the road and just happened upon who he thought was a prostitute. He gave in. This is mountains higher in the level of temptation if you think about what he's going through, right? So there's all kinds of reasons and circumstances going on here that just increase the level of this temptation, yet Joseph remained faithful. I want you to think about it in this way. You know, the enemy's working through this. The enemy's coming after Joseph, the faithful one of God. God probably, we talked about before, God probably said, "Have you noticed my servant Joseph, how faithful he is?" God using the enemy to strengthen his servant, actually. So I want you to think about the rationalizations, the lies that Satan probably put in his head that are common to all men, right, in this situation. First, like I said before, Joseph is all alone. I'm all alone. Nobody here knows me. If I do this thing, who's going to know? That's common, isn't it? Two, I'm a slave here. What can I do about this? Isn't this what I'm supposed to do, right? Do the bidding of my master or his wife? This is the right thing to do, isn't it? Three, old Potiphar's always gone. Always out working in the Pharaoh's court. Obviously, Miss Potiphar's not getting the attention she needs. Doesn't she deserve a little affection? Wouldn't this be the loving thing to do? Four, this could really benefit me. Wow, she's a powerful woman. If I get on her side, you know, she's got all kinds of connections. She could really boost my career. Maybe get me out of slavery altogether. And then five, don't I deserve this? Oh, I've been through a lot. Don't I deserve just a little happiness, a little joy, a little pleasure? Think of that's just a short list. Think of the rationalizations that Joseph could have easily grabbed onto and given into it. But then I want you to think of the actual physical circumstances going on with the temptation itself that raised the bar. How old's Joseph? 18, 19 maybe? His hormones are off the charts. And he's probably got one of the best looking women in Egypt coming after him. I mean, Potiphar's a pretty powerful man. He can have the pick. Wow. Two, it was relentless, wasn't it? Day. He didn't just turn it down once. Day after day, this woman's coming after him. "Oh, Joseph, just come here and sit by me, right? Just come lie by me. Just come be with me." Joseph's like, no. Every day. I mean, there is nothing that will not wear a man down if it's done every day. And then thirdly, she finally captures him in a very vulnerable moment, catches him off guard, right? He had no reason to expect anything. He's just going to the house like normal to do his work. And guess what? Nobody's there. There literally nobody's in the house. It's just him and her. So she's got him right where she wants him. She grabs a hold of him. "Lie with me." Now, here the temptation is at its greatest level, brothers and sisters, isn't it not? He's all alone. She's got a hold of him. He's in danger, And he knows it. So what's he do? He does the only thing he can. He flees. Take a lesson from Joseph, right? If the only way out is to run, then turn your tail and run from sin. It's that serious. Joseph was faithful in the greatest level of temptation that I can even possibly imagine in my own mind. Now, how was Joseph able to be so faithful? Well, I want to give you a couple of things you can see from the passage. One, Joseph was already, and we talked about this a while ago, but since Joseph was already being faithful in the small things, he was much more prepared to be faithful in the big things, right? As I said before, Joseph sought to honor God in everything he did, in even all the tasks he had set before him, even as a slave in Potiphar's house. And you see that attitude in his mind, verses 8 and 9. He said, behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. He's put it all in my own charge, right? So this is mine. He's given to me everything. I do it all faithfully. How in the world am I going to betray him in this big thing, right? So again, Joseph's already faithful in the small things. So if you're faithful in the small things, brothers and sisters, you're much more likely to be faithful in the big things. But if you're not in the small things, then the big things are going to be giants, right? So it all starts in what you think are the most, like before, the circumstances of your life. What you see is insignificant. What you see is unnecessary and unwanted. God's using that to build your faith, and he was using it in Joseph. So there's one. Now, number two, here's the greater reason in my eyes, the key. Joseph saw sin for what it really was, right? He saw it as an evil against the Lord himself. That's what he said, right? The end of verse 9, he said, how then could I do this great evil and sin against God? Not Potiphar, which he had in mind. Yeah, I can't do this to my master. Not even Potiphar's wife. Not anybody else. But I'm sinning against God. So Joseph knew that what he did was against God himself. And this is the view that enabled Joseph to see sin for what it really is, a great evil. Now, how was Joseph able to see sin like that? Because he was constantly aware of the presence of God in his life, like we talked about. God was with him. He was with God. He walked intimately with God. And because he was aware, God's right here with me. Even in this Potiphar's house, he's here. So if God's here, if I do this thing, I'm not alone. I'm in the presence of God himself. See, Joseph knew that even a sin done behind closed doors in a dark room, unbeknownst to anybody, is actually done in the presence of a holy God. And that is great evil. Brothers and sisters, if we could get a hold of that, I mean, really? Then we would have a great tool in our hands in order to deter and kill sin in our lives. Right? But we've got to be like Joseph. We've got to become aware, keenly aware of the truth that God is with us no matter where we go, no matter what we do. He's not just with us when we come to church on Sunday morning. He's not just with us when we get up in the morning and pray to him and open the word, right? He's with us everywhere. We need to understand and be aware of that. As TJ always says, right, invite God in to your situation because he's there anyway. He's there, right? So when you go to work, you invite him into work, whatever you're doing. With all your relationships, you invite him in. You walk with God and talk with him through your relationships. Right? In your entertainment, you invite the Lord in right there with you because he's there. And if he's there and you're walking aware of this fact, communing with the Lord, right, then when the temptation to sin comes, you're going to realize something. God's with me. I can't do this thing against God. This is a great evil. And so you're given this great deterrent against sin in itself. Just being aware that God is with you wherever you go. Joseph was keenly aware of this because he walked intimately with the Lord all the time, right? Again, he can't hear the narrator say the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph had to be aware of that because he walked with the Lord and he knew that, and he did. All right? So Joseph was able to be faithful all alone in Egypt, even amidst great temptation. And lastly, I want you to see, Joseph was faithful even amidst great adversity. If you look at the last few verses, 13 to 23, what do we see? Well, we see Potiphar's wife's lust turns to hatred. Right in a moment, right? And she uses this moment when she has his garment because he ran and fled and left it in her hands. And she uses it to make up a story and lie about Joseph and accuse him, right, of a great sin. Total lie, total fabrication. Well, why did she do this? You know, I don't know. Perhaps she finally came to the realization that he was never going to give in no matter what, and she would have none of that. Perhaps she's not used to being turned down for anything, right? She is, after all, the captain of Pharaoh's bodyguard's wife, one of the most important women of all Egypt. And so because of that, she would have none of it. And she would lash out at Joseph. I don't know. But here's what I want you to see. Because she was able to turn so quickly from a man on a man from which she was desiring so greatly and going after day after day after day, love and lust are nowhere near the same thing. As a matter of fact, she shows us that lust and hate are much more closely related, right? You listen to the world, lust and love are the same thing. They're not. Total opposites. So, she makes this lie up. What does she do with the lie? She tells all the men in the house. Why? To get them on her side. It's a whole lot easier to make Potiphar do what she wants him to do when all the whole household is against him. And I'm sure that they didn't like Joseph too much. He's the favored one. He's Potter's favorite. He put him in charge of everything, including us. So that was an easy one, right? And she even uses racial means to get him to turn. Brought this Hebrew in here. He's not us. He's not an Egyptian, right? So then she gets to Potiphar, tells him the story. What happens to Potiphar? Burns with anger. Why is he angry? Could be angry at Joseph. That's what makes sense here, right? But I don't know. He may be angry at Potiphar's wife. And I say that because of what he does. As we discussed, the normal penalty for this is death. But he doesn't do that. He puts him in jail. So perhaps Potiphar saw right through the lies of his wife, knowing his wife. She's not a very godly woman at all here, as you can see her character. So maybe he just knows his wife, as he probably should. But he's forced to do something because now the whole house is against him, and you know, his name is pride, like his pride's on the line, so he puts him in jail. That's all he can do, right? So now again, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Man's ripped from his home, 17-year-old. Nobody, sold into slavery, hard life, menial tasks, you know, washing the toilets, whatever they were in Egypt, right? Washing feet. But he's still faithful. God's with me. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust God, even though this has happened to me. He's still there. He's still here somehow. And so he does that. And eventually things start to look up. You know, man, I'm actually, you know, kind of rising. I'm still a slave, and I know that. But, man, he's starting to put things in my charge. And just when they get to the peak, I'm in charge of everything. Wham! Right? Lies are told about him. He's thrown in prison. And all because he's trying to do the right thing. This is great adversity. And again, does Joseph have a reason to stop being faithful to the Lord? In his own mind he does, right? This guy can't win for losing. But what does Joseph do? He responds in faith once more. He continues to trust God, again, even in the little things. You thought he had menial tasks in Potiphar's house. Now he's got the worst task of all in the jail. No, the worst place in the world to be, I guess, would be in an Egyptian jail at that time. And now he's there, but he starts honoring the Lord so much so, who notices? The jailer notices, right? And he puts Joseph ultimately in charge of the whole jail. Now, how's Joseph able to be so faithful again? Well, it's the same reason all throughout the passage. Don't miss the point. Two more times we're told in 13 through 23, near the end, 19 through 23, the Lord was with Joseph. That's why Joseph was faithful. Again, the faithful one, the Lord, was with Joseph. And because the faithful one, the Lord, was with Joseph, Joseph was able to walk in faith. Brothers and sisters, don't miss this. The hero of the passage is the Lord. It's not Joseph. We see Joseph and we want to put him on a pedestal, and I get it. Comparatively speaking, he's a giant in the faith. Comparatively speaking, he's a great story to teach kids in Sunday school, isn't he? But this is who you want to be like Joseph. Be like Joseph. But God's the reason Joseph was like Joseph. Right? God's the whole reason. God was on Joseph's life. And because God was on Joseph's life, in Joseph's life, all around Joseph's life, Joseph shone like a bright morning sun. Is that not a precursor to the Messiah that is to come? It is. So I want to end just by asking you this question. So brothers and sisters, can you be faithful like Joseph? Maybe in the good times, things are going good, but what about when those hard things come, adversity comes, those circumstances that come in your life that it looks like the Lord's not there at all? Can you be faithful? Well, I guess you got to ask the question, like Joseph. Is God with you? I mean, if you're a Christian, born again, Christian, is God not with you? Does God not indwell you by the presence of His own Holy Spirit? Wherever you go, whatever you do, is God not with you? Are you not the temple of God Himself? Unfathomable. Right? In the Old Testament, Joseph was extraordinary because the Holy Spirit had not come yet. But the Holy Spirit dwelt on Joseph extraordinarily. But brothers and sisters, if you're God's, right, Holy Spirit's with you. And so the answer has to be yes. If God's with me, then I can be faithful. Why? Because I have this great ability to walk in faith? No, because God, the faithful one, dwells in you. And because God, the hero of this passage, is dwelling in you the same as He is with Joseph, then yes, you can be faithful by walking in faith and trusting the very one who is faithful, just like Joseph did. But we must see Joseph like, or see the Lord like Joseph saw the Lord, right? Ever present, intimately walking with Him. Brothers and sisters, let us see this truth like Joseph did. Let us proclaim it and walk in it just like Joseph did. I'm going to leave you with these words of another man in the Scriptures who seemed to know a little something about the presence of God in his life. I've talked about him before, and that's David. Good times, bad times. David knew the Lord was with him. And this is what he was able to say, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because thou art with me. Brothers and sisters, if you're the Lord's, He's with you. If He's with you, you can trust Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the truth that You are with us, Your people. Father, it's really to a level that we don't even comprehend and grasp most of the time that You have indwelt us with Your Spirit, that You live inside us. Doesn't that make us even more aware that no matter where we go, we can't be separated from You? It's impossible. Where we go, You go. So help us to understand that and walk with You intimately, seeing Your faithfulness and responding as we should with faith. Father, build our faith this morning. Make it greater so that You will be glorified even more. That's the result of Joseph's life. You're glorified. So use our life for that same purpose. Build Your church. Lift up the name of Christ. Lift up Your name. I pray all these things in Jesus' name this morning. Amen.